Oh, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Unity. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. So glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Be among his people. Amen. And the great thing about it is that every one of his people is a walking miracle. Amen. Some people don't believe in miracles anymore. I just have to look in the mirror. I don't even have to look at you. Amen. I just look in the mirror and I know that God is in the miracle working business. We thank God for that today in Jesus' name. Well, this is First Sunday, and on First Sunday, we invite all the youth to stay up. We have classes and we change our service just a bit because we want to preach the word in such a way that might reach somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Amen. This may be the day, and they may not understand all the praise and worship. We want them to celebrate it with us as we celebrate him. But we want them to hear the word.
Yes.
Because it's the word that saves.
Amen.
And it's the word that will transform their lives.
Yes.
And make them new creatures in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We read the Psalms today, Psalms 119. We're coming near the end of our second time through, and we'll probably do it one more time. You know, God says, hear and do, hear and do,
Amen.
Hear and do. And the challenge to us as Christians is, are we willing to do the simple things that God tells us to do? Because as the Lord has revealed to us and I shared with you, he says when the hard and when the easy things are no longer hard, the hard things will become easy. Amen?
Amen.
So there's things God asks us to do. It's not even hard to do. Read 8 verses of Scripture a day. And I wonder how many of us are still maintaining.
Amen.
Amen. We talk about the faithfulness of the witness in the Bible, where sometimes it took them hundreds of years to do what God wanted them to do, and God asked us to read. And we say sometimes that's too hard.
Yes.
How can that be? We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. There's nothing impossible with God. We say that, amen?
Yes.
We say believing, if we ask anything in Jesus' name, he'll help us do it, won't he?
Yes.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that includes reading his word, doesn't it?
Yes.
I know some people think, man, we got to think of something really hard to do. No, God asks us to do easy stuff, simple stuff, just to show that we love him.
Amen.
Right? Just to show that we love him. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. And as you turn there, I'm just going to read a scripture from Matthew real quick. Matthew 6. This verse has kept me over the years, and I refer to it, all the Bible is good. Every word is good for teaching and edification and proof. But some scriptures, I don't know, for me, they stand out. They help me because maybe that's where my weakest point is. Amen?
Amen.
But the one that really stands out to me is this at Matthew, starting with verse 6 and 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The King James says added, but you know our kingdom, the kingdom of our God is a kingdom of give and receive, right? And I'm slowly, as we've been studying in the Bible study about the nature of God the Father, there is no doubt in my mind that his kingdom is based on giving and receiving, and he always gives first. There's no doubt that God gives us everything first, and then he asks us to honor him with the gifts that he's given us. He never seeks us to earn anything. He blesses us beyond measure, not because of our goodness or righteousness, but because of his grace and mercy.
Amen.
This is the nature of our God.
Amen.
So I don't need to go and beg God to bless me because that's his nature.
Amen.
He does it. What I need to do is find out what pleases him so I can serve him and obey him.
Yes.
The blessings are assured because that is the nature of our God. But he said if you'd seek him first, all these things would be given to us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
For tomorrow will worry about itself.
Yes.
Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yes.
I'm a witness.
Amen.
Each day has enough. Amen. But then I just want to read on a little bit more in Matthew 7. It says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. See, the thing about being a child of the Most High God, son or daughter of the Most High God, is that we want to be like God, right? And he has reserved judgment for his son, Jesus, right? He'll be the judge of the quick and the dead. He earned that privilege by dying on Calvary's cross for us, that we might be saved. But we are purchased with the price. Hallelujah. So now, turn if you will to Galatians. As I go, I want to just thank all the congregation for the wonderful time we had last Sunday. Thank you for the privilege of honoring Jane and myself, and want you to know what a blessing you've been in our lives over these years. And we are blessed beyond measure knowing you, having the opportunity to have you in our lives and to see what God is doing in your life. It has been a privilege and an honor to be of service to you, and it was a very humbling experience to be honored last week, and we really appreciate all the effort that went in. And the message was wonderful, uplifting. Fellowship was sweet. Amen. Had a wonderful time in the Lord, and so we're grateful for that. And I just want to thank you on behalf of Jane and our family for all that you did for us. It was very grateful. Amen. And now the work continues. Galatians. Amen. Galatians 5. And I'm going to start with verse 13 and then go backwards to the beginning. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. You know, we were saved to be free in Christ. But being free is sort of a paradox, because being free and at liberty in Christ means that we freely give up our will to be a servant of the Most High God. Amen. To do what he would have us to do, to die so that he would live through us, because he saved us from certain death. And once you understand that, once you know you've been saved from certain death, then you don't worry about tomorrow, right? Because your life is in Christ. You don't worry about what people say about you, because your life is in Christ. And when you do the things that God wants you to do, if you read the Bible, you know that oftentimes, in fact, most times, doing what God wants you to do, most people will not approve. Even though they know you may be right, they don't want you doing what God wants you to do, because they're not willing to do it either. Amen. Amen? Freedom in Christ. Verse 13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." My brothers and sisters, you're called to be free. One of the things we have on our mission statement for this church is to set the captives free from all captivity, whatever it may be. We were called to be free in liberty through Christ, right? He says, "But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Today I come to you and tell you that we need to believe what God says in his word. There's circumstances all around us, trouble all everywhere. But if we take our eyes off Jesus, we'll be lost. And you know what? When we take our eye off Jesus, we try to find whose fault it is and who's not doing what they should be doing and why aren't they doing that. And we're missing the point. God is in control, right? If we keep our eye on Jesus and we seek to hear from him day by day by day, "What is it you want me to do today, Lord, for your kingdom?" Everything will be all right. Some people say, "Well, how can you say that, Pastor? We have unwed pregnancies going up. We have murder in the street, people being shot for no apparent reason. All these things are going on. Surely there's something to worry about." Well, no, we have a promise to stand on. The Second Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, Then I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands, right? So we have solutions, right? Amen. I see all the things that people walk up, they say, we have to work on critical thinking and problem solving. Well, the problem solver is Jesus. See, the answer is always Jesus. And we know him. He's our friend, right? He's our Savior. He's our God. He's all that we have, but we won't tell people. We think, oh, they got something going on that's more sophisticated than us. We just have power. Right? I might not have the words to put it in such a way that it sounds sophisticated. I just have a God who is a powerful God who can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to because he's sovereign. I'm his child. And my high priest is not only my high priest, but my brother. And he has given me the Holy Spirit, who is also God, to do the work that he wants me to do, and I don't have to rely upon myself. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, this, when you really understand who God is, it takes a big burden off your shoulders. Because you, every time we think that, okay, God, I know what you want me to do. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. We miss the point. If God asked us to do something, he's going to do the work. He's just allowing us to participate. He's just allowing us to stand and see the power of God at work. He's the master chef, and every once in a while he'll ask us to bring him a pat of butter. If you can understand that, when God works, we're not in control. We're not doing the work. He's doing it. That's why he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But Pastor, you don't understand. I got things going on in my family, there's relationship issues. There's all these things. I got problems with my finances. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added, given to you. I know it's hard for us to believe. It's hard of us, but he doesn't lie. He's not a God that lies.
Amen.
You sit down and you look at your problem and you say, there is no way I can solve this. You're about at the right point. Because you couldn't solve it anyway, even if you thought you could. Amen. You need to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here. This is what I'm asking for. You show me what you want me to do. And then don't be astonished when what God gives you as a solution is something you never thought of. Amen. Would never have considered. Don't stumble at his promise when he says, here's the solution. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. He knows. You've proven it, right?
Yeah.
The solution wasn't even on your horizon, but God says, do this now, and you'll receive my deliverance. Not because you deserve it, not because you earned it, because God blesses who he wants to bless, and he curses who he wants to curse. Amen? Well, let's go on. He says, as we go back to 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. I love that about God. He just does stuff because he wants to do it, right? He wants to set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He freed us up and we do all we can in the natural to try to get bound again. Amen? How many times does God have to deliver us from things that we couldn't deliver ourselves from before we believe God is the deliverer? Because I'm just talking about myself. I know none of you ever do this. God delivers me, and I see something else coming up instead of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to see what I can do this time. And I get all bound up and tangled up, and I end up running to the Lord eventually anyway. I thank God. Used to take me years. Now it only takes me a few minutes. I realize, oh, going down the wrong path again. That's growth and maturity, right? Because I'm not staying. I'm not staying. But I'm trusting God. Sometimes I just have to stand still and say, God, you said this. You deliver me. You said you would forgive me. You said you would make a way out of no way. So, Lord, I'm not going to worry. Don't worry, it said in 34, right? Now, You say, well, wait a minute. He gave us freedom. Yeah, he gave us freedom from worrying. He gave us freedom from sin. By the way, worrying again when God is your master and your deliverer is sin. You do know that, right? Because you don't trust God. If you did, you wouldn't worry, right? Some of us have more trust in our paycheck than we do God, right? Because if the paycheck's supposed to come on the first and it didn't come, we call somebody. Something's wrong because the check should have been here, right? We got faith. Amen? But when God promises something, instead of going to God when it doesn't happen the way we thought, we say, oh, well, you know, maybe not this time. That's not what God, he says his word is true, right?
Yeah.
And if you read the Bible, the only way we don't get the promises God has for us is if we've stepped away, right? God doesn't go back on his promise. He didn't bless us because we were good. Amen? He blessed us because he blessed us. He gave us freedom because he gave us freedom. He's a God. He's wonderful. He's powerful. He loves us. No question about it. Well, he says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. Our righteousness comes from God.
Amen.
There's nothing we can do outwardly to make us righteous. And even when we try, we fail. In fact, the more rules we set up to make us righteous, the more we fail. Because we can only be saved by grace. Our righteousness is as filthy rags unto the Lord. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Sometimes this is very difficult to wait. You see, I read the Word, I see the Word, I know what God wants for me, and then I look into the mirror of the Word, which is that thing we're supposed to do, and I see flaws in myself, and I say, Lord, I've been praying about this for some time, and I still have this flaw. That means I have to wait sometimes, right? For the righteousness we hope for, right? Lord, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to lose my temper. You know, and some of us say, well, I haven't lost my temper in public for years. God's not looking at what you do in public. He looks at your heart, right? He knows the innermost part of your heart. He knows when you know, you might be biting your lip and everything else, and he knows you got angry. You have to ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that, Lord. I don't know why I'm getting anxious. I don't mean to be anxious. I know I don't need to be anxious. You told me not to be. It was a command. But, Lord, please forgive me. I'm not going around trying to tell people I don't ever get anxious. I do. But I quickly go to the Father and ask for forgiveness. And say, Lord, forgive me because I know who you are. And now because I understand who he is, it's so much easier to say, God, you're the one who can do that. I know it's not me. Can't possibly be me. I've never been able to do that. But you've done it for me many times. I trust in you, Lord. I have faith in you. And this gives me freedom. Freedom to do what God has called me to do in the way that he wants me to do it. Not being constrained by the things of this world. Not being limited by what the world says I can or cannot do, but doing it under the freedom that God has given me so that his kingdom can be expanded and that souls can be saved in Jesus' name. Well, for in Christ Jesus, verse 6, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Some of us can't even think back. We should try to remember when we first got saved, how free we felt, free from the burden of sin. And some of us have gone and shackled ourselves with something even worse, the spirit of religion. We make up stuff God never said. I can't do that. Where'd you hear that from? Well, I know it's, I just don't do that no more. Well, did God tell you not to do that? Did you read it in the Word? What? If God convicted you, you shouldn't do it, right? That's true. The Holy Spirit teaches you all things, brings all things to your remembrance. But no, I heard Sister Smith say this, and I'm not going to do it. Well, did God tell you that? Oh, I didn't ask God, you know. And that's sometimes we're guilty. We get in such a comfort zone. God is blessing us. We think we've reached a point that we think, well, now everything is okay. I don't need to consult God. We've had a victory just recently, and instead of going to God for the next challenge, we said, well, I can handle this one, God. Everything's pretty good. And we mess up. Instead of going to the Lord first, time after time after time after time. Lord, here's a challenge. I'll go to you. What should I do, Lord? How should I approach this? You know, he never tires of us coming to him. He never tires of us seeking his counsel and his word. That's why we read it daily, because we don't know what today's challenges hold, but he does. He knows which words we need for this day to be blessed. Amen. But he says sometimes we're running a good race and we get tied up. We get taken away from the truth. It says that kind of persuasion, verse 8, does not come from the one who calls you. Oh, Lord. Have you ever been so tied up in something that started out so little and you just let it grow, let it grow, let it grow? Takes away your joy, all the peace the Lord gives you. You just let it grow. You don't take it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Let me give this to you too, Lord. We stand back. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay a penalty, whoever that might be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Some of you don't know what emasculate themselves means. That means don't just stop at circumcision. Cut it all off. Do the job completely. Yeah, if you think that's going to make you more righteous, why don't you do it all? Now, some of you say, oh, Pastor, we don't do that kind of stuff. Well, all it's saying is if you're going to make one physical thing your symbol for righteousness, make it something big. Right? Right? Go all the way. Is that going to make you righteous? It's not, but I mean, if you think it is, let's go all the way. Hallelujah. But he says, we weren't called for that. We weren't called to self-mutilate and self-flagellate like they do in the Philippines, beat ourselves at Easter. We weren't called for any of that. God said he paid the price on Calvary's cross. He called us to freedom, to be free in him. Indeed. Oh, hallelujah. So now he calls us to live a life in the Spirit. Verse 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. Some people would try to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not functioning today. I don't know what Bible they're reading. Spirit of God is alive because he's God, right? He is God. So why would he not be working in us according to the word, doing what he said he would do? I know I can't live without the Holy Spirit. I can't possibly make it. I need him to help me day after day after day. And he was given to us by Jesus, right? Oh, hallelujah. I need him. But if we live by the Spirit, there are certain things we should look for. He says, the sinful nature is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature, they don't mix. They're like oil and water, right? That's why there's sometimes a war going on. But what do we know about our God? He always wins, right? We say he'll fight our battles. That includes the one inside me, right? Whenever I try to fight the battle, I lose. I know that's hard for some people because they say, well, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to will it. That fails every time. You have to take the problem, submit it to the Lord, and say, Lord, fight my battle. Lord, I read your word. I know there's something in me that's not like what you want. So, Lord, I turn it over to you, and I trust that you will take this, mortify it, kill it. Take it up by the root, Lord. I don't want it ever to come back. In Jesus' name. Our God can do that. Amen. He says, they're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. I'm a witness.
Me too.
But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You can't be led by the Spirit and act that way. Not on a consistent, you can't. And you say, oh, I slip up every now and then. Well, if every now and then is really every now and then, not every Friday. Amen. You know, you can make excuses, but when God changes you, you don't even want to do it anymore. But if you slip up, you feel so burdened because the sin is not against you, it's against God. And because you love him so much, you go back to him and say, God, I didn't want to do it. I don't know. Help me. I didn't even enjoy it. And it wasn't because somebody said I shouldn't do it. It's because I want my relationship with you to be right, Lord. And it burdens my heart. It grieves my spirit. When I do this thing, Lord, help me take this away. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom. But see, He tells you this because, see, if the Spirit of God is in you and in me, we can't live this way. It's not that we don't want to live this way. We can't, because we just won't be satisfied. Because the Holy Spirit is working a work in us. He's transforming us. He's making us over. He's bringing things to our heart and mind that says, now, you wanted a solution to this. Here's the solution. And sometimes that solution seems so hard. Seems impossible. So we've been studying in the book of Genesis, when God works out a solution to answer to prayer, even the people who are having their prayers answered, they're just astonished. They're like, you know, everything I know says this can't happen, and then God does it anyway. Because he's God. Right? He's God.